Sing those words that we are children of God. But how often do we take time to reflect on what that really means? I want to give you guys a chance to do just that. So for a couple of moments, we're going to spend some time in reflection. And I want you to think about the words that we just sang, about who God says that you are. And we're going to do something a little different. If you're feeling led to pray out loud, or to even just declare who God says that you are out loud, we want to invite you guys to do that as well. So let's take a couple of minutes to do that.
Say I am. close and teach me to abide.
Hear this
feelings as I'm following. I depend on
Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here today, that no matter what we are going through in our life, that we can depend on you and that we can gather together here. please be with us today, and please let the message and what we learned about today touch our hearts in ways that maybe it hasn't before. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
All right, everybody. Take a second to greet somebody around you. Try to find somebody you don't know, and then grab a seat.
Well, good morning, church. I'm going to do it again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Awesome. Hey, my name's James. I'm one of the pastors here at Shalom First Baptist. Our other pastor, Jake, is coming back. Yeah, there we go. Yay, we clap, Jake. He's coming back in just a few weeks. And in fact, he sent an update video that is on our Facebook via email. It's out there on our webpage. Go check it out. He'll be back the second week of September. That's only a few weeks away. In the meantime, we're going to do things a little different for a few weeks. So if you're new this morning or you missed the promos, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to focus in on missions, which is a little different. If you haven't been here before, I just don't want to surprise you. Usually we take a section of scripture and spend 2 years on it, or a whole summer on it. That's what we usually do. For the next few weeks, we're going to switch that up, and we're going to talk about missions. Next week, we're going to hear from our students that just got back from missions Friday night. Yeah. I don't know where Joe went, but it's probably to get a nap. He just got back. And we're going to hear from them next week. And then in 2 weeks, we get to have a multilingual, multi-ethnic, multicultural celebration on Sunday morning. Our Latino brothers and sisters are coming in the morning service, and we're going to worship in different language. We're going to just celebrate what God does across all barriers, all tribes, tongues, nations, that kind of picture, worshiping together. I'm so excited for that. Yeah. And this morning, we're going to focus in on global missions. Shelton First Baptist Church has been on this corner since 1889. Yeah, that's a long time ago. That's countless church members, pastors who we've forgotten their names of, people being saved on this corner since 1889. At one point, this sanctuary faced, I think, that way. And then, when I was a child, it faced that way. And then now it faces this way. Come back in 10 years, who knows? Things change, right? The carpets change, the pews change, the music changes. Somewhere along the way, they let pastors not wear suits. Thank you, whoever made that decision. I appreciate that. Here's the thing that doesn't change. This church has been committed to global missions since it started. As far back as we can look, this church has been committed to global missions, to bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. And what we're going to do this morning is look back a little bit, talk about why we do missions, and then look forward. So I'm going to have you in just a moment turn your attention to the screen, and we're going to watch a video celebrating some of the missions and missionaries God has brought out of this church, some of the things he's done through the decades. And I know as we watch this, it's a glimmer. It's a glimpse. It's a sliver of people who have served on the missions field. But as we look up there, just celebrate a little bit with me what God has done. Go and turn your attention to the screen.
Hello, everybody. I'm Linda Cole. I was Linda Banner, for those of you that have been around here a few years. I was raised in this church. My parents both got saved here, and I received Christ as my Savior in Vacation Bible School. I went to Ethiopia in 1970. And was there for 7 years. And I'm very thankful that from the beginning, First Baptist Church supported me. After Ethiopia, I worked in Sudan for 4 years and then was in Kenya for 10 years. The biggest thrill of being on the mission field is seeing the Lord working. There were so many times when things seemed completely out of our control, and only the Lord could work it out. I was telling Sylvia about the time leading a Bible study that I felt we needed help. I didn't have good enough Amharic. This was in Kenya with refugees from Ethiopia. And just at the last moment, a man from Eritrea, a missionary aviation fellowship pilot, came walking up the path. We'd never met, but he'd heard we were there and asked if he could stay at our house for an hour. I said, sure, do you want to preach from John 3 in Amharic? Oh yes, I'd love to, he said. And 20 people accepted the Lord. This kind of thing, where the Lord's timing was just absolutely perfect, was a thrill. I could go on and on with things like that. So it was in Sudan where Bill and I got together. We got married here in this church. And Pastor Jerry Hamilton, who had also been in Ethiopia, was pastor then and married us.
I became involved in missions through FBC and my husband, Jeff. His first mission trip was with a group of men from FBC to Belize in the early 90s. I knew that if Jeff felt called to get involved in missions, he would do it all the way, so I should get on board. This ended up changing my life in so many ways, including giving me the opportunity to live a unique experience where God placed me in a position to become more vulnerable to learning from Him in new ways. Serving in missions opened my eyes to a new worldview. It allowed me to experience the ways people live around the world and to learn from the experiences of others. Leaving the comforts of home to live as the minority in a developing country where nothing is readily available like it is here in the U.S. is humbling. One lesson I learned, despite language and cultural differences, we all have the same basic needs to be loved and cared for and to know and feel the love of Jesus. We ended up making lifelong friends with people across the globe that became like family to us. And with so many wonderful people here at FBC that came and participated in mission projects with us, whether in person or supporting from home. Missions has taught me the importance of living out God's calling for my life, whether serving in another country or in my own community. I believe God has called the church to give generously and support global missions, learning to walk and serve with humility in partnership with our brothers and sisters around the world.
This has just been an amazing project in that, you know, after doing over 50 of these projects, they're all different, but the team that we've had has just really jived and worked together, and it's so cool to see the young people work along with the older people, and everybody's so respectful of each other and caring and just wanting to work together. It's just made it an awesome project.
Hi, I'm Justin. I was a youth pastor here at FBC in the early 2000s. And one of my favorite seasons of that time of youth ministry is when we zeroed in and zoomed in on the idea of social justice, where we wanted to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And it was during this time where we really did a lot of really cool things in our community and abroad. We took a couple of trips to Honduras for missions. We supplemented teaching with content such as Invisible Children. During this time, we had a student named Sarah Hansen. At the time, she's Sarah Montez now, but she was inspired by Charity Landman's ministry in Sudan, and she got this idea that she wanted to run a benefit concert. So right here in C3, Sarah and her friends put together an event called Rock for Sudan, and it was amazing.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Charity Van Bimmel, for those of you that don't know me. I've actually been going to Shelton First Baptist starting when I was 7, but I've lived the last 20 years abroad. I first went on my first mission trip with First Baptist when I was 15 to Honduras, and loved it so much and was so encouraged by it, I actually tried to stay in Honduras. I've done other mission trips as well to Nicaragua and to Canada and to Mexico, all supported by our church. And for 10 years, I stayed in Sudan and South Sudan, sent out by First Baptist. And if I think about First Baptist and missions, I remember even as a teenager, Greg Scandrett, praying for all of us that we would be sent out into the mission field, and just the love and support that everyone has shown me throughout all the years and continues to show me. I'm now based in the Netherlands and supporting people in 16 countries for the organization I'm working in. So I'm definitely still involved in missions and very encouraged and blessed by Shelton First Baptist and the way you support so many people around the world. Thank you so much.
Do you have any interest in going to Romania? Most of the work that this first trip with Sherman, was it practical for us to be involved? Could we be effective in helping the Romanians? And John made an impression on us that here was a family that had committed themselves wholly to missions in Romania. They knew the language. They had been born there. Even though they were American citizens, they went back to minister to their own people. And we came back with a commitment that we thought we should be very involved with that effort.
Hi, my name is Josie, and I am part of your mission board. And one of the things that sticks out for me for participating in missions with FBC has been the opportunity to work with multi-generational groups. From my first mission trip to Honduras and Romania to my most recent to Canada with the youth group in 2017, I have traveled with people in their 80s to their teens and everywhere in between. I have grown in relationship with those of an older generation that I had the privilege to get to know on these trips. They prayed for me through high school, college, getting married, and now parenting. For those younger than me, it gave me the opportunity to give back what was given to me. Encouragement, prayer, cheerleading, and mentorship. First Baptist Church laid the foundation for a lifelong love of and involvement in missions in my life through their commitment to investing in missionaries, ministries, and mission trips.
Good morning, family FBC. I am Pastor Juan Carlos from Nicaragua. I had the blessing to be part of the ministry, the FBC family support, and also we receive a lot of team who come down to Nicaragua and also Honduras. And that was a great blessing for our ministries in Nicaragua. The Bible said in Acts 1:8 that, but you will receive power of the Holy Spirit coming on you, and you will be witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and at the end of the earth. So it's a blessing for me to see how the FBC family is taking this verse and making it true, because I see the FBC family sharing the love of God in Central America, and that is a huge blessing for the ministry and for all the missionaries in Central America. So thank you for supporting all those beautiful ministry.
Hi, I'm Sally, and I've been on 3 short-term missions with FBC Youth. I've been to Vancouver, Canada, San Francisco, California, and Cascade, Idaho. Being on a missions trip really helps me reset and find my love for Jesus again. A story from one of the 3 trips I've gone on is on my San Francisco trip. One of the days we were told to leave our base for 10 hours and just kind of wander the city to gain perspective of what the homeless population kind of go through day to day. And that day was so hard for us. And it was just, we were drained the whole day. It was hot. We couldn't shower or brush our teeth. We didn't really eat that much. And so it was just a really challenging day. However, God still moves. And we happened to meet this guy. His name was Tony. And he was just sitting in a chair on the sidewalk in front of like a little convenience store. And Tony started mumbling these words. And we were like, what is he trying to say? We were trying to like understand what he was saying. And it sounded a lot like shirt. However, continue talking to Tony. He actually was saying church, and we were like, oh yeah, we're part of the YWAM group that's just down the road. And at the end, we asked if we could pray for him, and he was like, absolutely. And so we prayed for him, and it turns out that he was just recovering from a stroke. And we were able to minister to him and reach out to him and pray for him. And then as we were walking away, he started singing a song, you know, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And so as we walked away, we sang that song with him as we parted ways, and it was just a really beautiful moment. I'm just thankful for FBC providing this opportunity for the youth and everybody else.
My name is Anna, and I've had the opportunity to be a leader on 2 short-term mission trips with Pastor James through YWAM. Serving the unhoused in Vancouver and San Francisco with our high schoolers is something I'll never forget. Short-term missions offers the opportunity for a deep dive into serving and growing together in locations not too far from home. My biggest takeaway is seeing students being pushed from their comfort zones and bringing a whole new attitude of understanding and servitude back to our own community. The relationships built between students and leaders is something unforgettable. From preparing food, hearing real-life stories, long road trips, unending affirmation circles, worship nights, tears, and even the long-awaited rafting adventures, high school missions is something I'll always continue to support.
I've seen that video so many times now, it still makes me have feelings. What a blessing to be part of what God has done in this church. Matthew records Jesus saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you." And Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Our purpose as a church is to make Jesus known. Our purpose as a church is to lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ to reach, connect, grow, and send. And that video is this glimpse of what God has been doing since 1889. I want to look around because I know we didn't get everybody. If you've ever been on long-term or short-term missions, even if it's not with this church, put your hand up real quick. That, if you can't see, it's a lot of hands. That's a lot of hands. Praise God. Online, we see you out there too. Put out there, if you've been on short-term, long-term missions, maybe share where you're at. See, I grew up in this church, and I don't remember a time where global missions wasn't part of the DNA. And that's our heritage. And I want to highlight just a couple real quick people that have grown up in this church and gone out. And then I want to tell us why we do missions. But first, all the way back before my time, Ruth and Dave Harrison went out from this church. Ruth grew up in this church. And then in 1970, she and her husband went out to Asia. For 36 years, they were on the mission field. Places like Korea, Hong Kong, places in China. And here's this beautiful thing that they're doing. They're teaching the nationals how to lead churches, how to make disciples, how to be missionaries in their country. This couple, the ripple effect of their missions, because they went out from this church, we won't see this side of heaven, but it's great. Linda Cole, who's here, I won't point to her, but she was on that first video. She went out from this church. She was married in this church in places like Sudan and Kenya. She went out. And she still keeps in contact with the disciples that were made. Our brother Jeff Brady, in the early 90s, he and Nancy got their hearts caught by missions. And they went out to Central America on countless trips. And they had this passion for Central America that just spread through this church. If you were here during that time, you couldn't help but be affected by it. The missions that we have now, Jeff served on the board. And missions in this church just was spread by this brother, Jeff. And we know he's gone on to glory. But he and Nancy have influenced that. Many of you went to Romania. Got to see as communism fell and the gospel got to be proclaimed throughout this country. We still support missionaries there, John and Esther Vatron. And the work that our short-term missions did there continues on. Last week, you saw this stage crowded with students going out on short-term missions, and Salem kind of counts as the ends of the earth. And here's why we do this, because we want a passion in our youth for missions. One of our historic missionaries, Charity Van Bemmel, I'm sorry I pronounced your name wrong, used to be Charity Landman, caught a heart for missions on short-term missions. God has been doing things over and over, and we get a glimpse of what God has done. And I want to say this, I am not bragging about this church, I'm bragging about God. It's his mission, it's his gospel. And since this was born, this church was born, it's been in the DNA to go out and to make disciples. And I want to say this, I'm so thankful for the past here. And here's what I'm even more excited, God's not done. God's doing things now into the future. God's sending missionaries from this church. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, what I want to do is I want to spend just a couple of minutes in the book of Romans as why we do missions. But let me pray. Father, I get so excited. It's amazing to think that a church that by your grace you put on this corner a while back, this little church, you have used to take your message to the ends of the earth, and that you're not done. And God, we know we don't have a message without you. We don't have a message unless you change us. We don't have power unless your Spirit's in it. So God, I pray as we celebrate missions this morning, we don't celebrate us, we celebrate you, Lord. Celebrate your faithfulness, your commitment to the world and to this church. May your word shine in the name of Jesus. Amen. Really quickly, I want to anchor us in Romans 10 for just a moment and talk real briefly why we do missions. So this is Romans 10. The Apostle Paul says this, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who would call on him." And here's where we're going to anchor ourselves. Verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." The message of the gospel is for all places, races, backgrounds, criminals, nice people, mean people, dictators, the oppressed, the poor, the ruling class. Paul is declaring the unique truth of the gospel needs to go to all people. And we see in this passage why we are so committed to missions. First, we see the lost need to know Jesus will save them. Again, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? You need to know somebody's worth trusting if you're going to trust them to save you. A number of years ago, I'm going to say a long time ago because the story about myself isn't great, a buddy was cutting down some trees with a chainsaw. Okay, he called me up and said, "Hey, will you come out and be moral support because I don't know what I'm doing." So he starts cutting down trees, and as you do when you have success and 30 minutes of YouTube, you get overconfident. So we're out cutting down trees. These trees are going down. That's fine. I'm just standing there. Yay, good job cutting down trees. And he comes to this big tree and says, "I think I know which way it's going to fall because I watched YouTube." And so he cuts it, and then it's cutting back, and it shifts and locks down on his chainsaw. And here we are, two guys in the middle of the woods with a chainsaw stuck in the tree. And he looks at me, and I can't do anything. I wasn't there to do anything except cheer him on. And so we call somebody we know that can save us. We call our buddy Brad. Brad Hansen has cut down lots of trees, and he does it successful. And we call him because we know him. And we call him, and he shows up, and what does he do? He laughs at us. Yep. And then he saves us. And I say that because missions matters, because if people are to trust Jesus, they have to know that he will save them. He has to be declared so they can know and they can trust him. And Peter says it this way. He says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Missions is not about spreading the culture of Shelton or FBC or America. It's about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only name that can save. And when he says there's only one name, what he's saying is the deepest need of all people, the deepest need of every person is Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can connect with every heart, no matter culture, economics, politics. We see this in Jesus' ministry. I'm going to show you two examples of why we want to take the gospel to all nations. Luke 5, we find Jesus teaching in a home. And the important people of the village, they go up to the front in this home, and they're right there listening to Jesus. The Pharisees, teachers of the law, they've taken up the front room. Outside this home, there's a paraplegic, and he has really good friends, and they bring him to this home to meet Jesus because they've heard Jesus heals the sick. This guy, this paraplegic on his mat, likely spends most of his time outside the city in the sun, and his hope is that people passing by will give him coins or charity or something. But this man's good friends take him to go see Jesus. But the room is full, so these friends climb up on the roof. And if you know this story, you know where we're going. They get up on the roof, and they attach him and lower him down on a mat in front of Jesus. Imagine right now, you know. He comes down, and this is why we want people to know Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, hey, I got a message to preach. He doesn't say, go outside, I'll deal with this later. I've got these important guys I'm talking to. He says this, when they saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately stood up in front of them. He took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Missions is so important because we go into all the earth and we show people, tell people that this Jesus, God of the universe, came for the least. That he came for the man who spends his existence outside of a city on a mat hoping for a coin or a piece of bread. That's who Jesus is. That Jesus came for the voiceless and the powerless and the oppressed. But it doesn't stop there. I want to give another story. Think about Jesus and Zacchaeus. This is Luke 19. Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. He's a thug. He's the bad guy. He's the criminal. He's shaken down his fellow men. He's betrayed them to the Roman Empire for money. He's rich. He's mean. And the Bible says he's short. I'm not putting those together. I'm just saying that's part of the picture. And he's short. And he climbs up a tree one day to see Jesus. And Jesus, the Bible says, calls him down and says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house tonight. Which is so cool. And he shows up because Jesus came to save the bad guys in culture. The people with the money. Sometimes we just think it's the poor. It's everyone. Zacchaeus right here, he meets Jesus. And it says this. Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. This is what Jesus says to this guy who just came from being the oppressive, rich thug. He says, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is a message to the nations. And we could go on and on, but every person, no matter how far they appear from God, every sinner is in need of a Savior, so we do missions. Church planter E.F. Breeze says this, we are all debtors to every man to give him the gospel in the same measure it was in which we have received it. If you've been saved, you are called to give that message to the world. Missions matters because every lost person matters. Number two, The lost need to hear about Jesus. These are Paul's words from Romans. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Why missions? Because the lost need to hear about Jesus, but not just hear about Jesus, hear about Jesus in a way that connects the perfect truth of God's word into their culture and language. Into their culture and language. One of the jobs, one of the roles of a missionary is to take the good news of Jesus Christ, the word of God, and make it accurate and accessible. Jesus doesn't change. The Bible doesn't change. However, the ability to communicate in a way that's understood with cultures and language and idioms and all the different things that form human society, that matters. Think about how Jesus did it. He shows up 2,000 years ago in a Jewish culture. In one instance in Luke, he's trying to explain the kingdom of God, and he says this: what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds perched on its branches. Has anyone here ever seen a mustard tree? Okay, cool. All right, so we have to understand, what does that mean? Can you imagine taking that to a culture in Asia or Africa? What does this mean? Again, Jesus says this: what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. 2,000 years ago, that all landed into a community. That truth of the gospel hasn't changed, but missionaries take that message so that cultures and people will understand it. People need to know about Jesus in their language, in their place, in their context, and it requires people going out. Right now, according to Joshua Project, there's about 7,400 unreached people groups in the world. 7,400. Unreached means that they don't have enough Christians in their own culture to lead churches, to make disciples. 7,400 that don't have the resources to evangelize their own people. 7,400 equals 3.3 billion people. Right now, I just want that to come in as we get to talk about Jesus. 3.3 billion people who have never heard the gospel message. They've never heard it in a way that can connect to their heart and in their soul. And it takes time and it takes care. And if we believe in missions, it takes valuing people enough to listen and understand them. We believe missions matters because 3.3 billion people matter. These are image bearers of God. One of the missionary couples that our church supports are Jonathan and Heidi Bamford in the Philippines. And I got the privilege of meeting this couple a few weeks ago, and they went to the Philippines in about, look at my notes here, 2001. And they were called to the Isnig people in northern Luzon in the Philippines, and they got in there and they thought they were going to plant a church. And then God does things that he does. And they discovered that that dialect was so different than the language that the Bible was in that they needed to change their mission and become Bible translators. So they started to learn what it meant to translate the Bible into this different language. You see, in the Philippines, there's 120 different languages, right? The Isnig people, there's about 40,000, and they have given the last 15 years to make sure these 40,000 people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in their language. Yeah. Why? Because those 40,000 people matter to God. They shared recently all of the intricacies of translating the Bible into these languages, and you have to live among the people because one saying could seem like it means one thing and it means totally different, and I realize just how little I know about language and cultures. There are 7,400 unreached people group. Missions exist because Jesus is worth declaring to all people. Number three, Christians are still needed to proclaim the gospel. This is Paul's words. How are they to hear without someone preaching? We have technology, we have video, we have all these things, but the call of people bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth in person hasn't changed. The message of salvation still is preached and lived out and made disciples person to person. This is Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. He says, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you stand, and through which you are also being saved. The Apostle Paul would go place to place and proclaim the gospel in context, in places that hadn't heard it. He would live among them. Sometimes he would work among them. He would be there. He'd be in houses and in churches. And wherever they would let him declare it, it required people sharing Jesus. Not only do missionaries preach the gospel into a context, they raise up people in that culture to be leaders in their churches, leaders in their communities, to continue on. And they care and they serve and they invest. Think about how Jesus lives out his life. He preaches, he heals, he serves. That's what missionaries do around the world. And this requires that Christians stand up and are willing to go. Christians from churches around the world, that they have a burning passion for Jesus, and you can't just keep it here. It requires seeing that Jesus is a treasure in the field, and you run after it, but you don't keep that treasure to yourself. You go find people, and you bring as many to that treasure as you can. And here's a beautiful part about God. He's been interrupting lives in this church for generations. He's been interrupting our plans for generations. I think of Jeff and Nancy and his first trip to Belize. I'm going to guess this couple had a 10-year plan. It did not involve Honduras. It did not involve leading missions. God does that. People are still needed. In this room are people who are called to be more involved in global missions, prayerfully, financially, and maybe even go. Because we believe missions are important to God. We want to leave no location without the gospel message. And one more here. Churches are still needed to send people. Paul says this, how are they to preach unless they are sent? Kevin DeYoung puts it this way, at the most basic level, a missionary is someone who has been sent. That's what the word missions entails. Missionaries are those who have been sent from one place that they might go and spread the gospel somewhere else. And the picture of a sent person requires a sender. God's the ultimate sender, but God from the beginning has been using churches to send people out. We see in Acts, the very first church is Acts 13, the very first church. I'm going to jump down a little bit. They're doing church and they're worshiping, and the Holy Spirit moves and says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. You know what they were doing when they got called to go out and spread the gospel? They got together and just did church like this. They're worshiping and they're praying. They're hearing God's word, and God's word gets into their heart. And they said, okay, those guys, they're going out on missions. John Piper says it this way. This is so beautiful. He says, seeking to bring Jesus to the nation is fueled by the joy of our own worship. You can't give what you don't cherish. You can't proclaim what you don't prize. Worship is the fuel and the goal of missions. A church that is focused on worshiping an all-powerful God of the universe who is worthy of worship from all corners of the globe will naturally raise up people who want to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. God calls churches to send people out, short-term, long-term. It looks different place to place. Paul went out and the church prayed and supported him. Peter went out, the church prayed and supported him. And I'll say this, not every Christian is called to go. Some of you might be, but every Christian is called to be part of a church that is sending. I'll say this again, we're not all called to go. We're all part of the call to send. Think about those people that I showed you earlier, like the Harrisons. They go out, but behind them is a church full of people praying and supporting. Throughout the history of this church, those that go represent hundreds and hundreds of hearts and dollars and prayers and excitement to send them out into the world. Missions takes the whole church. Paul used a picture of the body, and we're going to end with this picture here. He says, some are hands and mouths and eyes, and then how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. So church, mission still matters until every person has heard the gospel. And I'm going to bring us all the way back because Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Missions is part of the future of this church. Missions is part of the future of this church. Amen? And you are invited. We're invited into God's perfect plan. Missions is part of the future. And I'm going to say, there are a lot of unknowns what global missions looks like. I don't know. There are questions on the best way to reach 7,400 unreached people. COVID changed the landscape of missions. I don't know if we ever do short term again. I don't know what that looks like. There are politics happening around the globe that are too complicated for me to understand, but I know some countries have opened up and some have gotten very, very closed. In some places, part of missions is recovering from the messiness of previous missions. I don't know what God is doing, but this is one of the beautiful things about a mission Sunday. We can see what he's done, we can know what he wants to do, and we could dream a little together. Because his mission will be accomplished. The gospel will go out. We can dream a little. What's God have next for this church? We know the history and we know it's not done. And we know some things won't change. Right now, we have 11 missionaries supported from this church out on the global mission field. As a church, we will never stop praying and supporting them. As a church, we're never going to stop raising up generations and giving them an opportunity to taste what missions looks like. You want to be here next week to hear those stories. I had the privilege for 8 years to lead short-term missions. We took over 200 teens from our community out. And we got to see them be part of lives changing, but their lives changing. Why would we spend all spring fundraising? Why would we spend a week sleeping on the floor? Why would we spend nights with breakdowns and breakups? Because that's what God calls people into missions. In just a couple of weeks, 3 young adults from this church are going out on their next step in missions, going to DTS. Sam Hughes, Ethan Heckert, and Caitlin Wilson are going out. They're going to spend a better part of a year learning. We have other students around here. I hope that we have lots of people in this next generation being raised up to go. Our church is passionate. We want to become more passionate about missions. We have a missions board. You might not know this. There are people in this room part of a missions board. I'm going to tell you what they do in a moment. But if you're on that missions board, go and stand up for me. Yeah, I know. You got to stand up. You didn't know I was doing that. Stand up. There they are. Look around. You can see. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Coming out of COVID, one of the things that we've discovered together in the missions board is how we want to get the church excited about the missionaries we already support. In your bulletin there is a list of our missionaries. You probably don't know all of them. I'm only saying that because I'm still learning all of their names and where they go. We want to help our church know so we can care. One of the ways we're going to do that is September 13th. We're going to start giving you the opportunity to actually meet our missionaries. In your bulletin is this little invite. You can come and meet Rigo and Claudia Reyes. They're missionaries we've supported for quite a long time, and they've done lots of stuff, but the thing that gets me so excited about Rigo right now, what he's doing is Rigo is training up pastors and missionaries to train up pastors and missionaries. And so this brother oversees about 50 people in places like Central America and Africa and Asia and around the world. But these 50 people he oversee about another 2,000 people. You're going to want to come for an hour on September 13th and get to see this missionary. One of our goals in this church over this next season is on Tuesday nights, hopefully once a month, maybe every other month, we'll have one of our missionaries come in and you get to hear and support and care. just come and know where do our tithes and offerings go? Right here with missions. I don't know what's next for missions, but I know God has called, he's going to send, we're called to support and to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, because believers have been doing this because we believe Jesus is worth it, and we want to see other people know him. We're going to do one more thing on our missions focus, one more thing, and I see Paul do this. He says, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread quickly. Pray that others will honor it as you did. Pray that we will be saved from sinful, evil people. Not everyone is a believer, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen, he will guard you from the evil one. Paul says, church, pray for your missionaries. Pray for your missionaries. So we're going to get interactive this morning. You've got that little bulletin, or that little list, and they're going to pull it out. What we're going to do is we're going to watch about a 4-minute video highlighting some of our missionaries. And you've got a list there so you can see names. And then we're going to come back together and we're going to pray out loud for missionaries. So I'm saying prepare your heart, because we're going to do that till we get some prayer going on here for our missionaries, okay? Go ahead and turn your attention to the screen.
Y nos enfocamos en el trabajo de 4 áreas muy importantes. Una que es plantación de iglesias, el ministerio carcelario, entrenamiento de líderes y también organizando cruzadas en el país y fuera del país.
Estamos reuniéndonos mensualmente en las aldeas, comunidades, y ahorita en junio tenemos una regional donde reunimos unas 80, 85 mujeres, y esto es para la gloria de Dios y poder seguir trabajando en el ministerio. Solamente pedimos sus oraciones.
Hello. We are Humberto and Carmen del Arca, serving under the CBC mission. We are serving in Honduras, raising up churches in the whole north coast, in the west, and all the east of Honduras.
We are the Caspers, Michael and Lindsay, Hadassah, Judah, Oswin, and Redmond. We serve with the Vision 5-9 Network. Our specific work with the Vision 5-9 Network is with planning and leading events.
We're Robert and Dr. Priscilla Carpenter, serving with World Venture.
We serve in Shikarpur, Pakistan.
Right behind us is Shikarpur Christian Hospital, which is a 35-bed hospital for women and children.
From the Pacific Northwest, and we first visited First Baptist Church in Shelton in 1993. Since we left for the field in 1994, you have been faithfully supporting us, for which we are very thankful.
Hello, my name is Radha Manikam. My wife, Zamane, and I serve under Missions Door and on loan full-time to Cambodian Ministries of Christ International.
Lloyd Stanford, our home mission with Missions Door, serving in Belize. We got appointed in 1989. Where we took over the responsibility of 11 churches, serving and giving them direction in ministry, as well as church planting.
My part of his ministry is mainly to be praying for him, to be there for him, and I find myself working a lot with the women.
Hi, we're Jonathan and Heidi Bamford, and we work with New Tribes Mission in the northern part of the Philippine Islands. We've been working among the Isnig people group since 1999, and our primary focus is Bible translation and Bible teaching.
I grew up at Shelton First Baptist Church. My family moved there in 1972, and I spent all my growing up years at the church. And when Heidi and I decided to go into mission work in 1994, Shelton First Baptist Church was one of the first churches to stand behind us. And they've been standing behind us in the Lord's work here for 22 years.
One, this is John and Estera Batran. We are missionaries to Romania with World Venture since 1992.
My wife and I are both native of Romania. We lived in the States for over 20 years. And after the collapse of communism, the Lord has placed on our hearts the desire to come back and serve our wonderful Savior here in Romania.
Thank you from our hearts for the faithful prayer and financial support that kept us here on the field. God bless you all.
In 2000, I was appointed as church planter for Nicaragua, and FBC was the first church that financially supported the ministry in Nicaragua. On July 26, 2001, began the first church in Chinandega City, Betania Church. May 2016, 34 churches have been established. More than 1,500 brothers regularly attend church service. 80% have been baptized. More than 100 leaders are under Bible call training as church planters, and we continue training leaders to extend the grace of Jesus Christ through all Nicaragua.
The Lord has opened up an amazing opportunity to help our organization start a new mobilization base or a sending base for Arab speakers that want to serve the Lord and plant churches in the Middle East. The Church of the Middle East has unfortunately had kind of a bunker mentality for many years. So we're in the process of helping to rediscover, I guess you could say, the Great Commission within the church. I think the first thing is just to know what's going on in the world, to be informed.
That's a glimpse at our missionaries. And so here's what we're going to do. We really believe God's word calls us to pray. So church, we're going to pray. So in a moment, I'm going to start out, and then I'm just going to invite you, as the Lord leads, to pray for those missionaries. Pray for this church that we would raise up more people to go into the field. Pray for this generation. Pray for clarity. Pray that the gospel will go forward to those 7,400 unreached groups. Pray wherever the Lord leads you. Pray loud. If you want, if you stand up, we can hear you a little bit better. But if you don't, you can only sit there and pray out loud. That's okay too. I'm going to do this for a few minutes. Just lift up our missionaries. Father, I just want to start by saying thank you that each person on that screen has a relationship with you, Jesus. We cannot give what we don't have. So God, I thank you that you called each of them out of darkness. Nobody is born a missionary. We are born in sin, and you save us. And so God, I pray for each one of those that they would draw close to you first and foremost, that daily, God, that they would be your people, that they would know your presence as they seek to bring your gospel to the nations. Amen. Let's worship together.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been
time we sing all my life. Hey, everybody, have a great rest of your Sunday. Make sure on the way out that you stop by the table right outside and have a chat with some of our missions board members out there. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.